Speaking of anthropology, my name is Dylan.
And my name is Kevin.
And we are back for another episode here on the 21st of January, 2022. So I know we are 21 days late, but happy new year to y'all and happy new year, Kevin.
Happy new year to you, Dylan. It's 2022.
Man. Yeah. We're really in the future, aren't we?
The future that, wow, just like 2 years ago, we would have been sitting here just chatting about what the future would be, and now we're living it. Anyways, our little existential monologue at the start of every show.
Well, yeah, and also I think an important thing to announce here at the start of the show is partly that we have brought the future into the present. Speaking of anthropology, is now on a few different platforms. You can now listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You know, we have a RSS feed, so there is, you can go to anchor.fm/speakingofanthropology, anchor.fm/speakingofanthropology to see where we are at now. But yeah, we are on a couple different platforms now, so wherever you get your podcasts, you can now listen to the back catalog of the show. So that is something that Kevin and I have been working on for a little bit now, and we are pretty happy, I think, overall with getting there and with how it's gone so far. So yeah,
to all our listeners, just check us out and thank you for tuning in to our award-winning Speaking of Anthropology show. Our quick update on the weather, as always, I think is a nice warm up for us, because Dylan and I have not been live for a while. And I think this is good. But, you know, a warm up from us here in Fairbanks, I think, is a cool down with the constant snow and the snow packed in. But at least now everything, the roads are a lot better and things are good here in Fairbanks. So how about in the Big Apple, New York City?
They're not too bad. We had some winds, some snow and some rain, some chillier temperatures, on and off over the last week. But, right now it is, you know, a, warm, refreshing 21 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, and it's pretty clear. I think still some wind though, but that's just kind of how New York winter is. Even if there's no snow or anything else, it always feels a little colder thanks to that wind and the wind tunneling, you know. But yeah, you know, not too bad, all things considered. Although I do believe now that this is one of the times when Fairbanks temperature and New York temperature are been closest so far this winter. I don't think they're so far off right now. Am I correct in that, Kevin?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're at the same temperature maybe out there. It's still cold and brisk, but not too bad. Mm-hmm. It's starting to feel like as we approach spring and then summer, like this, you know, the coming out of hibernation mode is you know, like that flip of a switch is happening right now for a lot of people. So people are kind of appearing again in Fairbanks, and it's kind of fun and exciting after what has been notable here in Fairbanks, I think both here locally, nationally, and internationally as Icemageddon, you know, snow packed on ice packed on snow is just not fun. And so a lot of people out there, you know, had a lot of shoveling to do and a lot of things to get through this winter and continue to do so this winter. So we're making our way through. But new year, new resolution, you know, move on and upwards. Exactly. And that's what we're here to talk about today. Jump into topics of anthropology, our lives, and what's been going on. I think a lot has happened this winter as well for both of us. And, you know, with the current world, you know, if we reflect back on a year ago and where we were and now, yeah, very different, very different.
Very different. And, you know, I think in some ways that's as it should be, right? Especially for where you and I are at in our careers. And, you know, for a lot of our listeners, right, attending classes at UAF and stuff, you know, it's this constantly growing, constantly learning, constantly changing over the course of the year. Yeah, so, you know, I think in that respect, if in very few other things that was predictable, but nothing would necessarily stay static. Well, boy, did some things change, huh? And in just in some unusual ways too. But yeah, you know, it's we like to do the I guess annual now, you know, New Year's show where we kind of talk about where we are, where we want to go. And so, yeah, you know, it's always a good time, even if going back and listening to them, some of the predictions or some of what we hope to happen, you know, doesn't necessarily hold up. But that's also part of life, right? So, yeah, so I guess I'll just say, you know, Kevin, if you wouldn't mind reminding the listeners what you're up to right now and, you know, your current positions and stuff and your current activities and sort of where that's at, what that's looking like for you.
Yeah, it's a two-part series, I think. it continues onwards. So I'm currently still in this fellowship at the Alaska Center ICE. I'm an innovation fellow working for them on a variety of tasks and roles, kind of essentially building the entrepreneurial ecosystem here in Alaska, and likewise pushing forth, you know, what is innovation, entrepreneurship? How do you design something? How do you use customer discovery to better understand your research or your, you know, project or company? And so working with a lot of startups, working with 2B startups and working with late stage startups as well. So a variety. And it's been a very rewarding work. I think you don't recognize initially that there is so much being done here in your local community sometimes, being that, you know, there's so much going on, right? But kind of to plug into these networks, you really get a chance to learn a lot about it. And it's been great for me. And then, of course, likewise, just experiencing what, you know, life in Alaska is like. I think that's something that I every week figure out there's something different about my life here as compared to in California growing up. And that just makes it really interesting, I think, and unique. But yeah, finding a good balance, honestly, Dylan. And you know, having time, spending time outdoors, indoors, you know, COVID is definitely happening around us currently in the United States and around the world. And so being cautious of that as well, staying safe by masking up, I think that's important as well. But yeah, just finding a balance between all of that, which seems like a lot, and it is, but you know, you just got to enjoy it. So how about you, Dylan? I mean, you got a follow up. Sorry. Go ahead.
I do. Yeah. I was just curious. So then do you think that continuing to try and find that balance is something that you expect to be working on as the year continues, you know, or do you think that you have managed to strike it pretty well and you're content to leave it as is, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Actually, I will maybe use an anecdote or a tangent for this, but there's that new show that I guess some people are watching called Cobra Kai, right? It's about the Karate Kid, and I've been recently trying to, I've been asking a lot of people out of curiosity, because it seems like this is a popular show, whether they'd be Team Miyagi-Do, which is kind of like the Karate Kid, the main character, and then there's kind of like the nemesis, who's Cobra Kai. And I've been asking who people in life more find semblance to, right? So whether you are somebody who prefers like defensive balance and techniques and, you know, finding peace and zen within yourself, or if you're kind of like the Cobra Kai side, right? Of like, go at it, you know, be aggressive, be confident, be strong, be unique, be yourself. A lot of bees there, of course. I don't know. I've been struggling with that a little bit recently. I think finding a balance in what you can do and what your interests are, and being able to spend enough time on every single thing can be very cumbersome. And whereas just literally attacking at everything that you're working on can be great as well. And so there's this like thought that I always think in life of, why not just simplify things? And, you know, spend an hour a day reading, spend an hour a day, you know, exercising, spend an hour a day thinking, spend an hour a day, you know, doing what, right? And that's tough. I won't lie. I think a lot of people who go into the new year try to figure out their resolutions, you know, right? December 31st, they set it, And then do they follow through with it? And why not? Is it what circumstances? Life gets in the way. But finding that zen is not easy. It's not easy. I don't know. Do you prefer a method or technique, Dylan?
Oh, oof. No, that's hard. That's actually something I've been thinking a lot about, especially in the context, you know, the new year is you know, still trying to figure out that balance, right? Because I don't really think I quite have everything lined out the way I do. And so I'm trying to figure out, you know, in even just like, okay, so why not, you know, and then trying to to see what different I could do, you know. And I mean, of course, how I sort of figured these things out, I think I've touched on it a little bit before, is I think slightly different than you do, right? But like throughout the semester and stuff, I use a time tracking app, right, to keep track of how many hours I'm spending on various things, right, related to this show, related to my studies, related to my work, right? So that I can try and actually, you know, kind of see, okay, what am I actually spending my time on? What takes more time? You know, even though it feels like I did homework for like, you know, 50 hours this week, actually, how many hours did I really, you know, spend in stuff, right? And so that's a big part of it, you know, and just trying to keep using that data to keep sorting things out, you know, for me. And as well as also, I'm back to trying to figure out how to schedule things in an appropriate way, right? And not just like, you know, be like, well, I need to get these 7 things done. It's like, okay, sure. But I mean, the odds of me getting 7 things, like, you know, 7 big things done in a day is like, you know, 1%, right? And so it's like, okay, so how do we then break this up so that, you know, I'm not, because like, if you, I have looked at my charts for last semester, right? And I would alternate between having days where it's like 10, 12 hours long, and then days where I did things for like 3 hours, and like, no, this is not a sustainable balance. This, you know, these are extreme ups and downs, right? In how I'm using my time. And I just don't think it's particularly efficient, and I don't think it's good for me, right? So honestly, I am not very far along in that process either. And it definitely is something that I'm trying to figure out, you know, for this coming year, right? And especially now that the semester has started this week for me, you know, is trying to figure out, you know, what does a schedule that is more consistent across the board look like, right? And, you know, using my time well, but, you know, not like having one super long day followed up with like a, you know, day where I do nothing and then a super long day and like this, you know, like this weird seesaw stuff that I kind of ended up with towards the end of last semester, you know, because yeah, it's, I mean, I'm sure maybe that particular method of doing things would work for other people, but I walked away from that very, very, very unhappy with my schedule and how things went. So yeah, no, unfortunately, I don't really have the good answer either. I'm just trying to figure out how to apply the tools that I already have, you know, my task manager and my time tracker and that sort of setup to, you know, better figuring out the schedule, since I now know some of my inclinations, I guess, maybe. But yeah, I don't know really how much that can help you though, Kevin, unfortunately.
No, that does a lot, I think, Dylan. I'm thinking, you know, about a lot of social context currently, I think, in society. You know, we maybe drawing from media and mass media and in the various contexts, you know, there's a lot of people who are out there choosing and deciding to work with, you know, an example, you know, self-help guides or, you know, people. I recently came across somebody talking about doing yoga with your eyes, an example, right? Just to balance out your life. So, you know, we're spending so much time on Zoom. So, you know, take 15 minutes to do eye yoga, which I've never heard of, which is essentially, by the way, a really Zen technique of rolling your eyes in different directions and looking at your eyes beyond just one singular, you know, downward trajectory towards the laptop screen, you know? And I was like, whoa, okay. That's kind of interesting. you know, the implications, I think thinking from an anthropological perspective as well, I think is unique in thinking about this life balance. You know, we can look at history and the different people who have, you know, succeeded or failed, right? And the why, you know, they succeed versus others. I'm sure you've heard of this rule, right, Dylan, the 10,000 hour, you know, if you do 10,000 hours of something, you're bound to succeed in that, right? If you play piano every day and you end up playing piano, you know, for, I think that they said 10,000 hours takes like 2 or 3 years, I think, of constant, you know, progression, you can achieve that, right? I think, correct me if I'm wrong on the math there.
I believe, yeah, it's popularly the idea is, yeah, 10,000 hours is what it takes to, yeah, to master something like that.
Yeah. And maybe today's episode is a little bit about self-help and how we can talk about approaching our techniques in life in a more holistic way. But if you think about, you know, the interests that we have individually, a lot of the conversations I'm having with my colleagues here is post-grad. Literally in the car yesterday, I was talking to a friend about post-graduate. What do you call that? Postgraduate dilemma? No, postgraduate like pardon? I don't. It's like that, like state of mind, you know. Which Dylan, I think you are somewhat well. You haven't fully graduated because now you're in a master's program, right? But that, like, if for an engineer is like my engineering friends, you know, they've finished school now, and now it's they're interested in getting a job. But what will that take? What will it look like? What sort of experiences will you have while doing your job, right? That has been very interesting to me to kind of think about, you know, what is the right path? And then everyone keeps telling you, you know, there is no right singular path. Nobody really knows what they're doing. And then you don't believe them, right? I don't know. Dylan, give us some thought on that, because I think this is a good conversation to have. I think a lot of people who are now seniors and are about to graduate this May, they're experiencing that as well. So what the heck are we doing, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that is quite the debate, right? You know, especially too, because even if you are lucky enough, you know, for example, to have a pretty clear idea and say, hey, you know, I do want to go into a master's or PhD program after I graduate, right? You know, I think I can speak from my personal experience and having dived right in, you get to a certain point, you're like, actually, even though this is what I want to do, it also would have been nice to have taken a little break as well between, you know, between undergrad and graduate level studies, right? And so there's, I think that definitely that aspect that a lot of people do consider is, do I want to take a break? How, you know, how long? Do I just want to take like a year, you know, even if I know what I want to do, you know, just to not have that stress of academia in my life, right? So I definitely think there's that consideration. But then, yeah, you know, the questions of like, do I want to go into the workforce? Do I want to, you know, keep pursuing higher, you know, levels of education and stuff, right? Like those are definitely tricky things. And what I'll say is I do agree that there is no real one path. But also, I think the other consideration is that whatever you do now isn't like what's going to be set in stone for the rest of your life, right? Like you can work for 5 years and then decide, I do want a master's and go back and get that. Like it's your life, you know, you don't. You're not trying to do like an optimal speed run, you know, like on you know, GDQ or something, you know, GameStunk Quick, right? For folks who know, you know, where your people are playing video games and trying to clear them, complete them as quickly as they can, right? Like that's not how that's not really how I think people should live their lives, you know. And so you know like also just that consideration of like you're not necessarily going to actually make a wrong decision. Like you can make a decision, you know, and work for a few years and then go, you know what, actually I do want that master's. I do want that PhD. And that's fine. Like that's just part of your life and how you lived your life. Right. And then there's, you know, maybe you do go jump into something immediately and you start a master's program. And then you're like, well, you know, maybe this isn't actually what I want to do. And there you go. Then you know. And you can, you know, that's just also part of that. Or you complete the master's program and then you're like, boy, I actually don't want to go any farther than this. I'm, you know, want to go do something else completely. And, you know, like that's also the thing is, you know, you are making decisions and these are important decisions, but these aren't decisions that are gonna, that have to lock you into one thing. You know, going to work after you complete your undergrad doesn't mean that you then can never go back to school for the rest of your life. Ideally, you know, you will live a very long life, dear listeners, and there will be a lot of opportunities ahead, you know, to make changes in that life, right? And so, yeah, you know, it's, I think also that is just an important consideration, right? Especially for a lot of people when you're, you know, you're in your early 20s, in your mid 20s, just starting out, you know, and it's like, what do I need to do now? And it's like, well, sure, you do need to do things now, but also those things, you can then do new things, different things, go back to something, you know, later on in life, in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s. Like this is also fine. This is also just part of being a human being on Earth, right? So that's kind of what I would say to that, Kevin, if that helps at all.
Oh, it has to, Dylan. It has to. Thinking about at large and, you know, in the context of anthropologists, you know, you hear varying, you know, pathways. I think back on when I was a high school student, Dylan, and I remember, you know, I would visit these like different university discussions and collect a lot of pamphlets because, hey, why not? It's fun. You know, you can got to dream big, right? I remember this one actually very vividly. It was like a Duke University pamphlet. And on it, you know, it's beautiful, like, you know, North Carolina, you know, I think North Carolina area. North Carolina area, you know, beautiful wooded forest. And then, you know, students laying on a grass studying, which here in Fairbanks isn't really happening, right? You know, you can't really lay on snow. Like, you could try, but maybe on a sled, you know, and it's nice. And I agree, Duke University is a fantastic university. And then I remember opening it up, and on the inside, it was like a pathways chart. So just imagining like a massive like tree diagram. And you know, it would be like split off, it would split off in the middle, right? And so you're the student, and then, you know, you can choose the lab, or you can choose the field, you know, you can choose, you know, biology or chemistry or physics or anthropology or political science or linguistics, you know, so on and so forth. And then each of them branch off into different degree options and degree programs. And then from there, afterwards, it's like, which, you know, there's a, like a singular path to a job, which I love. I think Duke University does a really good job of like showing you this is the step-by-step process, you know, for anthropologists, it's like grad school and then maybe a PhD and then finding a position, you know, becoming a consultant, an example, or, you know, whatever job opportunities are out there. But I just remember thinking about that and thinking, wow, my whole life is set up for me now. You know, I remember in high school, you know, your career counselors would say, you know, this is your 5-year goal, you know, finish your, you know, 4 or 5 years to finish your degree. And then afterwards, you know, your next steps, you're gonna have to ask your university, you know, and these like step-by-step processes, and thinking about, you know, wow, that's the next 10 years of my life right there. Though, which is kind of tough. I mean, you spend, let's say you start, you know, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, which that's the American system, at least. You finish all of that and you're, what, 18, 17 years old? Or for Dylan, it's even younger, right? And you're out of this, like, you know, bubble of you know, structured, institutionalized programming that, you know, allows you to kind of have a good life of figuring out what you need to do and what your interests are. And then all of a sudden, you're unleashed into the world of university. And, you know, of course, you mature and you blossom into a really, really interesting person and academic. And, you know, be it if you don't go to university as well, you know, you mature in that time period and you kind of see the world as it is. I remember that stage in my life, and I think reflecting back on it, you know, I'm wondering, wow, you know, there's no wrong choice that I made. I mean, every choice that I've made so far has been fun and unique and interesting, and you know, we can say that in retrospect. Likewise, we've talked about on this show, speaking of anthropology, of like how we got here and how we became, you know, good friends, good co-hosts, I think, not bad, right? And, you know, colleagues in a department where we've, you know, left an impact, I think, you know, doing research, running the Anthropology Society, one step at a time. You know, these are things that I would have never anticipated happening, to be honest with you, Dylan. I'm sure you can reflect on that similar sentiment, you know, but, you know, who would have thought, right?
Yeah, really, really. Who would have thought? Exactly. And also, I mean, I don't know. It's very difficult to do this, but, you know, trying to be open to those unexpected things as well, right? Because, yeah, you're just going to wind up with opportunities in your life that you weren't planned for, you know, that you didn't necessarily anticipate. And so also, to an extent, you know, trying to figure out how to prepare yourself to be able to take advantage of those opportunities when they arise, right? You know, and to just have the desire, the interest, you know, the confidence to follow up on certain things, as well as, of course, the discretion to, you know, realize, hey, maybe this thing isn't actually like a good fit. Like, you know, there's plenty of opportunities that are great for some people and, you know, not at all ideal for others, right? And, you know, so that's also, I think, an important thing too. You know, I'm always very impressed by a lot of the things Kevin has done, but some of the things he has done also, I personally wouldn't necessarily have been as interested in, right? You know, and that's just how it goes. And so even though everything is a wonderful opportunity, amazing opportunity, they might not be the most wonderful, amazing opportunity for you as an individual. So, you know, I think a good mix that's needed, right, of both interest and ability to seize on those kinds of things, as well as discretion to know which ones are, you know, actually the ones that you want to pursue, that, you know, that are valuable and relevant to you. And that can be, you know, a difficult thing. But I mean, it's all just part of like learning over time, right? I see that as something that I work on learning, you know, constantly, you know, striving to do better in those areas, you know, every year, you know, just get better and better at that, right? And yeah, you know, so I think that's an important thing to cultivate for sure. But Kevin, I'm curious, since we kind of established where you're at, I'm kind of curious as to where you're thinking you're going to be at the end of this year, right? You know, and sort of what that planning, at least maybe just ruminations, you know, what that's kind of looking like for you right now.
Yeah, you know, great question, Dylan. And I think we have an answer for you already. You'll be continuing your program, right? And so for me, it's figuring out a program. there are many out there that I'm looking at, but this is another conversation I think to be had as we talk about this post-grad, you know, state. It's not limbo. It really is not. I think a lot of people think it is, but it isn't. I did experience a bit of like, oh wow, there's so many options out there. How do I succinctly find the ones that I'm personally interested in, right? Speaking to your advisors, your mentors, getting their experience and ideas. So I've applied to a few programs, and I'm currently working on a few as well. Well, actually, I'm working on them right now as we speak and in these days, just to figure it out. I mean, I'm in no rush. I think that's a big thing. There's this push that you need to go step by step and get, you know, everything done within a time period. And I think finding, you know, time to actually think about what you want to work on rather than just say, okay, I'm going to apply and go, you know, which works as well, which is what I did for my undergrad, and here I am. So it'll work out no matter what. But I've been looking at, you know, a variety of options, programs here at UAF as well. And then, you know, overseas, you know, I had a taste of it, as Dylan probably can also reminisce on as well. You know, a taste of Germany for an exchange program at University of Heidelberg, for a summer, for essentially a semester. And, you know, I do also enjoy that experience of, it's a challenge, not only a linguistic barrier, but an academic barrier of like, you know, you have to meet new you know, faculty group of people and make new friends, see what they're researching on and what their interests are. And so I'm looking at programs in Germany and Russia, and in Vienna right now is one option that I'm looking at right now. And so just branching out and finding a variety. You know, I don't know any French, or else I'd be looking at France, which could be an option as well. And so just dreaming big. I think I speak to a lot of, you know, speaking on a lot of people's, interests and ideologies, but a lot of anthropologists have an interest of traveling the world and seeing and understanding new cultures. And what better way than to do it like a master's with it, you know? And a master's is not the end all be all, right? As you said earlier, because a PhD can be, you can, you know, change your degree and study something else. And so that process that I'm kind of working through right now is, what's a good option? What are the, available options? What do I want to do with my career, later down the road? Having a general idea of what you want to do is good. For those who are submitting applications now or have already submitted, congrats. And you've gotten the written statement down, you've gotten the CV resume available, you have, your letter of recommendations, maybe you're taking the GRE. That's a lot of work. And I think these specific tasks help set you up so that you are ready to go to a master's. At times it may seem cumbersome, but it's part of the process. So that's the answer that I've been working on, Dylan, and I think we'll continue to chisel away at as I refine it. But come August, I'll be somewhere or just continuing, whatever I'm working on now. We shall see. We will find out, to be decided.
Yeah, that's the exciting thing, right? That's why I enjoy asking you and talking to you about this kind of stuff, right? Because we are working on these things now, and then it'll be very exciting to see when we do this again next year. Where in the world Kevin is, when we did a couple shows together while you were in Germany, me from Alaska. I think actually it was after the first COVID semester shutdown, right? And so I was kind of all over Alaska, and you were in Germany, and it was all it was all very up in the air. So maybe not quite a return to that, but a similar sort of thing of where in the world are we, trying to figure that out. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that unfolds for you over this coming year of 2022. Still doesn't feel quite real.
It's surreal, Dylan. It's surreal. I think. Yeah. I remember, having conversations with you about this summer, actually, about like where we're going to be. And, I remember a year ago, we were like, Dylan, you've made it to Columbia. When are you going to New York? And here, there you are now in New York. And at the home of American anthropology, Dylan. Home of American anthropology. I love it. I love it. Speaking of anthropology, is up there. It's an award-winning show, but now we're having credentials too. I love it. So
yeah. Onward and upward, right?
So how's your first, official semester in New York, Dylan? If you could creatively think of a sentence. No, you could probably go in more, but
giving me creative prompts now. Huh? That's, I don't know about that one. We need to schedule those out in advance.
Exactly.
Put that on my time tracker and my task manager. It was very interesting for sure. I do enjoy, being able to go back to in-person classes quite a bit. I'm not as happy as I wish I could be with, especially some of the final paper related stuff. Again, I think that just has a lot to do with the work that I need to put into figuring out a more optimal schedule, and just trying to sort that stuff out. But yeah, overall, it was very enjoyable. It was really nice to get to meet, folks in my cohort, get to talk to them, get to hang out with them and stuff. If you talk to people who have gone through a master's, news program, that is something they always emphasize, right? Is the importance of the cohort and the importance of talking to your peers, as well as, you know, engaging with the faculty and stuff, right? And yeah, you know, it has been quite enjoyable. Right now, Columbia has started the semester that began this week. The first 2 weeks are online. You know, just as like kind of, you know, a break for Omicron and stuff, you know, to try and give people time to, you know, come back to the city, test negative, you know, get boosted, do all that stuff. Or, you know, for some people, you know, to get over an Omicron infection or something, you know. So we're kind of online again, but just in a very brief, you know, manner with a scheduled end date. So yeah, you know, I really enjoyed being in person. I really enjoyed going back to in person to start February, you know, and the remainder of the semester. And yeah, you know, it was challenging in a lot of ways. You know, I remember what Dr. Drew told me, that grad school would stretch me, and boy has that been the case. And I do enjoy it for that, you know, and I do value that quite a bit, even if there are definitely times where I feel you know, I feel not quite, you know, like listening, you listen to, you know, especially like the PhD students and stuff that I'm taking classes with, you know, I'll just sit there and I'm like, boy, I, you know, they're on a whole nother level, and I'm not quite sure how to get to their level, but boy do I want to, you know, I want to keep going with that. So it's definitely, you know, been very very, very interesting and very enjoyable in that respect to both see where I'm at, you know, because I do feel like I have made progress from where I was coming out of my undergrad to now. And but, you know, still looking and seeing like, oh yeah, there's still a long ways to go, a lot more to do. But I, you know, and I think that's kind of, especially for this first 6 months of the year, you know, basically this first portion of the year that I have the spring semester, is me trying to figure out you know, how to not be my own opponent in getting to where I want to go, right? And so that's kind of where I'm at right now with that stuff, is you know, just trying to think that through, because I, you know, I really do enjoy it quite a bit. I really do feel quite you know, inspired, and so just trying to figure out how to actualize all that stuff, basically, is where I'm at with that right now. So
I remember this story, I think, of my high school calculus teacher would say, you know, Kevin, you know, I was struggling a bit in calculus, I think, as we all do. Not an easy class. You know, I remember him saying, Kevin, it's an uphill battle. You're at this bottom of the hill right now. You got to climb up day by day and make it to the top. And I'm not saying I've made it to the top yet, but I think I have. And I think, Dylan, you and I are kind of on the downhill, on the other side of the hill now, and speeding to the bottom to once again reach the top, hopefully. You know, and the hills are rolling, and you know, that saying, the grass is greener on the other side, is 100% correct. Mm-hmm. You know, we see what is available at the end of the light, at the end of the tunnel. The tunnel opens and closes, and there's side doors, side quests to go about on, and it's only a part of the adventure and the journey, and the journey continues. So
yeah,
right. I mean, I think, you know, yeah,
I think a lot of people, you know, obviously in a place like Alaska are well aware, right? You know, you don't always just have mountains, right? You start out, you know, you're climbing the hills, the smaller peaks, and you work your way up. And I feel like, you know, we've done part of that, right? We climbed up a hill, and then we saw the mountains on the other side, and we're like, right, now we need to do that, you know,
onwards
and upwards, right? And so you just slowly keep working your way up, and you don't always notice. I think it's easier to maybe notice some of the setbacks, right, and that kind of stuff, than to notice the actual progress that you're making. You know, because I think besides like the end of a program, right, when you get handed that diploma, you know, I think that's a really easy, strong marker. But a lot of the progress that you make up to that point, that's independent of just like getting an overall grade in a class or a course, you know, I think that the actual progress, the development of your writing skills, your speaking skills, you know, what have you, your analytical abilities, that sort of stuff, problem solving, I think that can, it can be a little harder to appreciate those than like I think the setbacks can sometimes be a little more clear, right? Of, oh, I messed this up. I didn't do well on this. You know, this was clearly, you know, didn't go very well. But, you know, you just gotta keep trying not to lose sight of the progress that you actually have also made as you make your way, you know, towards that degree, towards that thesis, you know, towards that summit of the mountain, you know. So that's what I'd say on that.
Summit the mountain. On your way to summiting and submitting the mountain in your grad applications or whatever applications that you're working on right now, there are other opportunities available here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Two opportunities that are local here at the Woods Center. Great opportunities to work with UAF Green Bikes, and you can be a mechanic. Positions are available to students, and for more information, contact 907-474-5072. Once again, 907-474-5072. That's for the UAF Green Bikes mechanic position. And likewise, esports is looking for you. So, you know, if you have a quest to go about, go check out esports and, you know, play some video games. I mean, that's amazing. Awesome. They're recruiting and they're looking for more people. Email them at uaf-esports@alaska.edu. Again, that's uaf-esports@alaska.edu. You can find them on different sources as well. Alaska Esports, right down here in the Wood Center, where we're speaking from at KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. Dylan, we've talked about graduation. We've talked about post-grad. We've talked about life. We've talked about the weather. We've talked about where we're going to be, where you're going to be, what people of the world are going to be at. And again, a new show, new year, new resolution. What is your new year resolution, Dylan? For all our listeners to maybe listen to and maybe, of course, see Dylan follow through by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really like resolutions. I prefer, as I think I mentioned before, I prefer like these ideas of yearly themes, you know, trying to theme your year. But I guess I'm trying to theme my year. My yearly theme is trying to engage with these difficult things that I'd kind of been putting to the side of like, oh, well, I don't really know how to fix my schedule. So, and this is working well enough, so I'll keep going. It's like, no, I just need to sit down and do that. So that's kind of my yearly theme, is engaging with those things, the difficult but important things that I've just been kind of allowing to keep going. What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, wow. Yours is a lot more like intricate than mine. I think mine is literally just to read more, Dylan. Or
always a good one.
Like taking a lot more information. I think being a not in an academic setting where I'm constantly, you know, needing to read assignments and complete assignments, write about them, analyze them, critically think about them. Now I have everything in the world available to me, which is a lot. It overstimulates the mind. And so finding the right news sources that can help me better understand what's happening in the world, and likewise figure out, you know, what books to read, what stories, what novels, what journeys to fall upon. So that's my New Year's resolution.
It's always important to read more, you know. But also, if the listeners would like to, you know, have something in their ears while they're playing their video games or riding their bikes or, you know, planning their next mountain climbing expedition, I would once again like to remind them that we are now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and, you know, other great podcasting providers. So you can find the links to that through anchor.fm/speakingofanthropology, anchor.fm/speakingofanthropology. You know, and we are out there now and more platforms than ever for people to listen to.
Thanks so much, Dylan, and happy new year to you.
Thank you, Kevin. Happy new year.